So welcome everybody. As you have seen, we have slight hardware setup problems because Stefan wanted to show some demonstrations on the notebook, and this doesn't work too well together with the Beamer. Yes, just to show the demonstrations later outside, because anyway we have already a delay. We will just transfer the slides to the other machine and then start.
Okay. I'm going to introduce SuperCollider 3 on Linux. So if you can boot me. I wanted to keep this short because I have some sound examples, and I think all of you are interested in getting some sound and hearing something. But unfortunately, you cannot see anything, so I don't know how I will do this. So an overview, some bits of history, an overview over the general SuperCollider architecture. The server, the language, some Linux-specific extensions, further development, and resources. History. As you all might know, SuperCollider was developed by James McCartney on Mac OS 9 and Mac OS 10. It was developed, or it was a merge from two programs he wrote, Synthematic and PyWrite, which was a Max object. Some of you might know it. SuperCollider version 1 was still pretty limited as far as the language was concerned. Version 2 had a pretty sophisticated object-oriented language. And the current incarnation, SuperCollider 3 server, is a whole new architecture, client-server-based model, which I will present today. On Linux, I started an alpha port of the server in 2002, and the first functional version was finished in November 2003. The Windows port done by Ross Benzina, who also wrote AudioModge on Windows, is finished as far as the server is concerned, but the language isn't ported yet. As I said, and yesterday there was at least one talk about the SuperCollider architecture. SuperCollider has a client-server architecture. A server application is providing sound synthesis facilities. It's running asynchronously to the client applications. You can have any number of client applications which control the server. Control is entirely by means of OC messaging. OC is a multimedia protocol. The synth application itself doesn't have MIDI, so you have to provide MIDI within the client application and transfer it to the server. So the server is really small, but I think that's the next slide. Server, core features, small, portable, efficient. You can embed it in your application by linking to a library, and the synthesis process will run in a separate thread, which you can communicate with asynchronously. It has a complete OC command set, so everything which has to do with resource management on the server, like buffers, synths, buses, can be controlled via OC. It's client application independent because of the generic network protocol that is used. On Linux, it has a jack driver backend, and actually the port audio backend, which Ross developed for Windows is working quite well too. Synthesis objects on the server are arranged in a tree of nodes. You have two node types groups, which are containers for other nodes, and synths, which are the actual sound-producing objects. Synths are on the synthesis graph level, the most atomic entities, but they consist of patches of unit generators, which are common to many synthesis architectures. Because the scope has to access the buffers. Okay. This is the scope. There's a panic button too. Next example is deals with primitive messaging the OC server, routines and scheduling. I'll first create two. Can you see the two groups on the server? No. I want to use the local server. I'll create two groups, so these are actually OC messages which I'm sending. I'll create a reverb synthesis definition, send it to the server, and simultaneously create an instance of the reverb. And what I do now mostly happens in this routine. So you can see a function which goes over, which iterates over a collection, but the twist is inside the loop you can do a, you can wait, you can see that. You can wait, the function will return from that point and be executed in this much seconds or beats from the current time. So I'll just do that and hope it works. And I will free the reverb node. So what do you do if you don't know what a unit generator does? You invoke the help function. So this is the help file for Clang, which is an array of filters. In every help file or in many help files, there are examples which you can try, which you can alter. Okay, next example is next example deals with patterns. I just sent some synth diffs. Have to read the global library and change the tempo. So what you see here is a definition of a pattern. So you see pbind is used as a mapping from symbols to other patterns. Patterns, as I said, can be nested. Every argument to the synth you want to create is put in a pattern. degree is actually an alias for the lowest level representation of frequency. So I create the patterns. What you see here, you can create patterns from other patterns. You can stretch them in time. You can add a value to a parameter, which is done here with M transpose, which transposes within the currently defined scale. I can start patterns quantized to a multiple of beats. This is the first pattern. You have to smoke some to enjoy this. The second pattern is the stretch pattern and transposed. I just play that. Playing a pattern returns as an event stream player, and I can set the stream of that player to another stream. So let's just do that. The stretch pattern. And both together, which is done here, P par, which stands for parallel, just play together. Third pattern was just multiplying the frequency. Different effect. Both together. You can actually pause patterns. Resume them from the point they were paused. Resume is also quantized to a whole beat, I think, by default. So, what's... Okay. Another example which showcases... the BBCut library, the... breakbeat cutting library. I hope it works. So patterns and other libraries work together via tempo clock, which is a really good way of dealing with scheduling. I had another one. Okay, this is just a GUI example, a simple step sequencer. This is how GUI code would look on Linux. I know it's a bit hard to explain right now, so I'm just creating some buttons and sliders. It looks like this. Before, I created a simple sample-based instrument, so it just plays back the sample. Hope it works. Okay. Doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't work, but it looks like that. Lock off. Doesn't work either. Thank you.
So, any questions?
how do you add eugens to the synth?
Can how
you,
do you?
Is there an API for adding new eugens?
It's actually documented. In a help file, you have, as I said, they are loaded from shared libraries. And you get an interface table with all the interface functions you have. You have functions for allocating memory in real time and all the other stuff.
So is that the sort of dynamic libraries can you load to this, you can load on the server? Is that, how it works? Say you want to add a particular eugen, you write a dynamic library and that
yes.
and load it.
Yeah. It's easier than writing CSound eugens. That's not hard.
Okay, just for economy of running.
So it's a short question about you using the OpenGL interface, and OpenGL can be a bit difficult to set up on Linux. Is it okay also in software mode, fast enough?
I don't think so, but I have hardware acceleration, so I don't care. There's actually just the scopes are drawn in OpenGL, so it may not be a big problem because all the performance stuff you use, like sliders, buttons, and stuff, isn't OpenGL.
Question about the GUI classes. Would it be much ado if you have a possibility to embed those GUI objects in other X11 windows? Put it in some other application somewhere else. That would be something I'd like to have. Or is it just? I must admit that I haven't taken a look at them myself. It's the first time I've seen on Linux this server panel window.
Well, you have several problems. I think I don't think it's a big problem to embed the X window because it's just created by FLTK and you get a handle to the X window, which would. But you have the problem of memory management and resource management. So the language has to know about the memory being released. So right now it's all done synchronously in language. The language is responsible for freeing memory because the garbage collector in SuperCollider for performance reasons doesn't have a finalization mechanism. Mm-hmm.
Dave, couldn't you sit a bit more?
I apologize, Stefan, I wasn't here at the beginning, so you may have covered this, but could you briefly describe the function of what's called the document object in SuperCollider?
I don't like the document class because it just makes problems on Linux, but the idea behind it was, I think, to be able to manipulate documents you have open in the interface on OS X, like code documents and help file documents, to be able to manipulate them just like any other object in the language. It doesn't really work like that with the Emacs interface because the interface is asynchronous, so you can't do things you can do on. Like OS X.
Fernando?
Is the Emacs interface specific to Emacs or can it also work on X Emacs?
Right now, I think someone tried it on X Emacs, but I don't use X Emacs, so.
Oh, it doesn't work.
Probably not.
There's a new version
at CBS. No, I didn't do anything to make it work on X Emacs, so.
Further questions? Okay, then we'll have the lunch break. You'd like to show further things in a workshop or outside, so you can always go to the information desk and arrange a short workshop above, so that's possible. See you back here at 2 p.m. if you like for a talk. Okay, yeah, thanks. for a talk by Fons Adriansen on audio quality measurements. So yeah.